Good evening. My name is Paula Eat, Mayor of Kingborough, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to tonight's council meeting on Monday the 3rd of July 2023. We don't have anyone in the public gallery with us this evening, but I'm sure we have some people listening at home via the YouTube stream. Being 5:30, I now officially declare the meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made available publicly on our website, and in accordance with council's policy, I'll ask the general manager to confirm that the audio recording has started.
Confirm, Beth.
Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land, pay respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. The attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reek, Deputy Mayor Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Bain, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Dean, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Richardson and Councillor Street. From our staff this evening, we have the General Manager, Mr Arnold, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, Director of Environment, Development and Community Services, Dr Fox, and Manager of Development Services, Ms Tyler Moore, Senior Planning Officer, Mr Tim Donovan, Senior Finance Officer, Ms Laura Eaton, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Norton. We have no apologies this evening. We're on page one, confirmation of minutes. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder that the minutes of the open session of Council Meeting Number 12, held on the 19th of June 2023, be confirmed as a true record. I've got a mover in Councillor Richardson and a seconder in Councillor Bain. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Turning now to page two, workshops held since the last Council meeting. We had a workshop last Monday evening, the 26th of June. And that was on the topics of Southern Waste Solutions and Coastal Hazards Policy. Still on page two, declarations of interest. Does any councillor have a declaration? No, thank you. Transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from closed into open session or open into closed? Thank you. We don't have any members of the public with us this evening, so there will be no questions without notice. Questions on notice from the public, we did have two. The first one in relation to Kingston Beach foreshore rehabilitation from Mr Tong and a response from Mr Reeve. Second one also from Mr Tong in relation to proposed Browns River Bridge and a response also from Mr Reeve. So if anybody who is watching would like to submit a question on notice, they can do so by completing the form on our website or by emailing kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. Questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor wish to ask a question without notice? Councillor Cordova, then the Deputy Mayor, and then Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got two questions, if I may. My first one is on the topic of the Tasmanian Housing Strategy. The exposure draft of the Tasmanian Housing Strategy was open for consultation, and I believe the consultation closed at 5 p.m. tonight. My question is, did Kingborough Council provide a submission to the draft housing plan, and how does that draft strategy or the exposure draft fit in with our new housing statement?
Dr. Fox.
Thank you for the question. The exposure draft consultation period has been extended by a couple of weeks, so we still have some time. We are preparing a submission internally, which we'll be able to circulate to councillors as that's prepared. We have been working with other councils as well to think about how the exposure draft relates to council activities and to our housing statement as well. And we all have similar, across councils, we have similar comments to make. So we're working with other councils, we're pulling something together and you'll have something shortly.
That's great, thank you. And my second question through you, Mayor, is on the topic of whole home short stay accommodation. According to SQM research, the May rental vacancy rate was 1.6% for Hobart, and in the postcode of 7050, the vacancy rate was 1.1%. Which is less, so one might deduce, therefore, that the rental crisis may actually be more acute in Kingston and Kingston Beach than it is in Hobart. My question is the Hobart City Council decision to double rates for short-stay accommodation, creating a rating differential for short-stay accommodation, is that recent decision by Hobart City Council going to be included in our report on whole home short stay accommodation, and do we have a council position on the Hobart City Council decision regarding that issue? Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Before I hand over to Dr Fox, no, we don't have a formal council position on that. That's only been a recent development by the Hobart City Council. But Dr Fox, could you assist with the remainder of that question? Thank you.
Through you, Mayor. We are certainly considering the recent action by Hobart, and it will come forward in that council report in a few weeks' time. As the Mayor has said, we don't have a position at this stage, but we will be providing you information on that.
Thank you, that's all.
Next, I have the Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Today I saw an announcement by the Tasmanian Government for the Open Spaces Grant Program. The program offers $5 million that will help fund community facilities, including parks, change rooms, green spaces, walking, cycling trails and playgrounds. It is now open for councils to apply, so my question is, will we be making an application, and how is it decided what we will apply for?
Mr Smee.
Through you, Mayor, we certainly do wish to take advantage of that opportunity, given that there's a requirement to provide funding from council. It's really a case of looking at what existing projects we've got in our capital budget and looking at how we can value add to them, so we haven't gone through that process yet.
Deputy Mayor.
Will we be hearing back about that?
It's just me.
Through you, Mayor, we can certainly inform councillors as to what we intend to do with that program.
Anything further? No. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I have four questions. The first is about Redwood Road, and I believe this has been advocated by one or two other councillors in the past, but I've received a crescendo of complaints over the past week or so from people that use Redwood Road a lot, in particular the schools on the road, and that is that the line markings for huge parts of the road are non-existent. And if council could advise the community as to what is the situation with that, please.
I understand the General Manager can assist, as we don't have Mr Reeve with
Thank
us this
you.
Evening. General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Antoli, I'll start by saying we can forward your question on to the relevant officer, and I'll make sure that happens. I am advised that we have previously submitted to DSG, as we regularly do, a request for some line marking along part of Redwood Road, primarily from Hawthorne Drive East to the Butfield Link. That hasn't been approved at this stage, but I suspect we'll probably be making another application in that regard.
Thank you. Is that because Redwood Road is considered a state Department of State Growth managed road, or what is... Most people just assume it's a council road.
General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Antoli, it is a council road. However, the delineation of who is the appropriate authority to undertake line marking is a little grey in the state. You'll recall that this council has a notice of motion that will go to the next general meeting of the Local Government Association of Tasmania, seeking to get a sector-wide view on that to hopefully clarify that position with DSG moving forward.
Thank you. Question number two. So some of these questions are really more for the sake of the community than for me personally, but if we can just take them as noted. Have the Planning Department finished their review of the application of the Landscape Conservation Zone, the LCZ, in the draft LPS?
Ms Tylermore.
Through you, Mayor, we continue to work with the TPC on the changes to the zoning and other parts of the scheme. It's not limited to the LCZ.
Thank you. And how many? And if could council officers update us as to how many properties are now proposed to be LCZ to date?
Ms Tylermore.
Through you, Mayor, the answer isn't that different from the answer provided in May. It's around 470 properties.
470, thank you. And will the revised mapping go to the councillors for approval before the public exhibition? Is that part of the process?
Ms Tylermore.
Through you, Mayor, it's our intention that the draft supporting report, the mapping and other documents will come back to the Chambers for consideration before it goes to public exhibition.
Thank you. That's all from me, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ntoli. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a couple of questions about the attachments, but I know we've got a section for that later on in the meeting.
We do.
Asking now is okay.
We're trying
or
to get in
later.
The habit of asking it.
I can ask later.
Yep. Thank you. Any further questions? If not, we will move on. Questions on notice from councillors. At the time the agenda was printed, there were no questions on notice. Open session of council now adjourns and planning authority commences at 5:40 p.m. So we're on page 4, officers' reports to planning authority condition. Before I introduce that one, get a mover and a seconder, there is an amendment. In condition 3 of the permit, it should read lots 387 and 389. There was a typo. So our apologies for that. But we are on DAS 2021-25, development application for subdivision of 30 residential lots, public open space, 2 road lots and stormwater infrastructure at Spring Farm, 63 Spring Farm Road and lot 293 Spring Farm Road in Kingston. With a recommendation on page 25, I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. I've got a mover in the Deputy Mayor and a seconder in Councillor Ntoli. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. The application is for a subdivision of 30 residential lots, public open space and 2 roads at the subject site in Spring Farm. I note that the trees on the site are to be retained, which is always great when that is possible, as they are located outside of the proposed building area. The proposed public open space will complement and is consistent with the existing pedestrian and cycleways. The report indicates that the non-complying elements all have acceptable solutions. I believe the proposal is consistent with the objectives of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. Spring Farm has been identified for some time as future urban growth area, and I note that Tasmania is currently suffering a housing crisis, and I believe that development like this is appropriate in an area such as this. I will therefore be supporting this application.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Further contributions? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple of questions. This is kind of a general question about 11.5.2 roads. So this is on page 12. It mentions that cul-de-sacs are to be avoided. And I'm just trying to understand why, as a general rule, that's the case. Is it to do with traffic legibility and being able to navigate the area? I'll find the exact dot point for you. But, yeah, just a general question about why it says that in the... somewhere on the bottom of page 12, I think.
Mr. Donovan, are you able to assist us?
Through you, Mayor. Yes, you're right. The standards in the scheme are trying to achieve, I guess, the optimum outcome. And having cul-de-sacs, you're quite right, it does lead to some issues in terms of permeability, connectivity and traffic. So generally they're not encouraged. But, of course, the world not being perfect, often they're a solution there.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And I will just talk generally about that. I think there's one of these issues within the planning scheme more broadly is that it appears to me, my interpretation is that it's quite car-centric and actually improving active transport links and navigability for people who are not relying solely on the vehicle, on the private vehicle, might be a good thing. Of course, here is such a good example where there still isn't proper public transport into Spring Farm. So that's something that came through loud and clear in the representations, and it's something that comes through loud and clear when you talk to people who are living in this area. Another question that I had was about... it says at 11.5.2, again, it says somewhere... I wrote down I... provision is made for bicycle infrastructure on new arterial and collector roads in accordance with the AusRoads Guide to Road Design 6A. Is my understanding correct that there are no separated cycleways proposed? The proposed subdivision includes the construction of a new road, Lot 101, off the existing Java Headlink Road, but there are no separated cycleways proposed. Can I just hear generally about what developers need to do when it comes to cycleways, and if there's any best practice guidelines that we try and encourage, because obviously I'd like to see that we encourage it, and I'm just wondering what head of power, if any, do we have for that?
Ms. Tollerwald.
Through you, Mayor, the provision of the planning scheme is talking about arterial and collector roads. These roads aren't that, so they're your main roads. If it was relevant, yes, there's Australian standards around that. So there's no requirement in the scheme for any bicycle lane provision.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. And again, I think it's a bit of a shame that the planning scheme doesn't provide for that, but... The next thing was on page 14. The subdivision dedicates an area of 1,095 square metres for public open space, including a 2-metre wide footway. But what is the plan for landscaping of that public open space? Is there any plan? And more broadly, when we do talk about public open space, is there any provision or head of power for, you know, whether it's going to be grass or have a picnic bench, or is there any kind of street furniture that's included when we talk about public open space?
Mr Donovan.
Through you, Mayor. In this regard, it's a land dedication only. It is providing the connectivity, I guess, between the existing areas. So that's what the application is asking for. There is no conditions in this current one for any extra... for the open space area. It'll be up to council later on.
Okay, thank you. Mayor, I'd just like to make the point, I guess, more broadly. This is, I think, the report itself, I think, is satisfactory in that it meets, to my reading, the planning scheme, and so I'll be voting for this proposal. But I did want to make the point that I have great sympathy for those representations that were made, and particularly around this issue that's highlighted at 2.55 on page 24. The issue, as listed in the officer's report, is that there's an allegation of misrepresentation and failure to deliver by the developer in regard to the subdivision as a whole. And I'm going to make the general point that, if true, that's a great shame, and I think, obviously, there should be more done about that. But I'm interested to know... Obviously, I've read what it says in the report, but is there any general commentary around what we do as a council to make sure that the developers with whom we work are actually delivering on what they said that they would deliver? So I realise what the legal parameters are, but what does council do to work with developers, I guess, in a spirit of collaboration, to make sure that they actually stick to their word and deliver what they promised?
Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, yes, it is disappointing when there are advertisements of developments, whether that's units, commercial, subdivision, where it might be misrepresented, but we have no authority to deal with that, and certainly the planning authority doesn't. It is probably not something we can deal with except for to be express our disappointment, but certainly not as the planning authority in respect of that.
Thank you. So my final comment, Mayor, is just to say that whilst I think that this proposal is indeed compliant with the planning scheme, I would hope that we are trying to engender a situation in which developers work collaboratively with the council to deliver really good communities that have health and well-being as a priority, that are livable, that have street trees, that have things that make a community a nice place to live, and something that actually improves human health and well-being, not to mention environmental sustainability and climate-sensitive design. There's a long way to go with respect to the planning scheme to actually realise that, but I think council does indeed play a role, certainly an advocacy role and also an educative role, helping to tell people what is and isn't best practice. And so that's why I think it'll be good if we kind of incorporate design guides and things like that. But I don't want to stray too far away from the planning scheme. As I mentioned, I do think that this proposal, whilst I have noted the representations, I do think it does meet the planning scheme, and so I will be supporting it tonight. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Any further contributions? Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. I do reside in Spring Farm, so I've been receiving quite a lot of feedback on this one. I just want to touch on the fact that it's the inner residential zone, so it's probably important to cover off some of the aspects that come with it being inner residential, so smaller lots, 250 minimum. The first one, which Councillor Cordova has touched on, is the need to be close to public transport. So walkable distance to high-frequency public transport corridors. The report does correctly mention on page 12 that Spring Farm and Whitewater estates do not currently have an internal metro bus service, and the closest bus stop is located on the Channel Highway near the Spring Farm intersection. that's probably a little bit generous because it's another 300 metres down past Mertonvale Circuit, so it's a little way. But my question on this one is, interested to know if the planning scheme gives any guidance in regards to what's considered a reasonable walking distance to public transport when it comes to the inner residential zone?
Ms. Tullamore or Mr. Donovan, either or. Mr. Donovan.
Through you, Mayor, thank you. The only guidance the scheme gives is what's in the standards, and it's what's in the report. There's no other guidance. What we find is if we challenge those and others challenge it, then it'll ultimately decide it when you go to the appeal. And I guess there's no set rules around that. It's really a question of what they consider reasonable and how this scheme applies. That's about it, yeah.
Okay. Councillor Bain.
Thank you. Second one, the performance criteria on page 11 talks about the inner residential zone must be within 200 metres of business zones and local shops. So I guess just to make it clear, this subdivision, I gather, ticks that box on the basis that empty lots bordering Spring Farm Road are zoned business, so it's the potential for future businesses there to service these properties?
Mr. Donovan.
Through you, Mayor. There's two answers. Yes, you're quite right. Right next door, in fact, over the boundary is the land zoned for local business that goes down Spring Farm Road on both sides. We have already approved across the road there a childcare centre and the pharmacy, I think, or doctor's surgery. So you're right, they're right next door. There's no reference to whether it's built or not. The fact they will have facilities there is the key.
Yep.
It's really also, my other answer is, it's really also a question as to when we make a decision to actually zone it in the residential. That's a main factor. This is an application to subdivide in the zone that's already there. So I guess it's a bit of a point about if you're making a decision about where the zone goes as opposed to what's already there on the ground zone. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Bain.
Okay, thirdly, just in regards to the connectivity and access to public open space, I think Councillor Cordova has already touched on it. It's great to see the 2-metre footpath being provided leading down to the public open space near the border of Whitewater. And it's also, I think, where the Spring Farm track's eventually going to go. Then over on the northern side of the Java Head Link Road, between lots 404 and 405, we've got a path leading down to where the Spring Farm track will be, so some good connectivity and access to open space, particularly once the Spring Farm track's completed and the play space is completed. Just had one question here on page 34. We have the concept drawings. And on the northern side of Java Head Link Road itself, from lots 399 all the way around to 413, I know there doesn't appear to be a footpath. And just in line with the recent footpath policy, can I just confirm that I think in the report's recommendation on page 27, condition 5, does that cover off on requesting that a footpath is added here?
Mr. Donovan.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, you're quite right. The plans don't show it, but you're quite right. The condition exactly requires that.
Excellent.
Yes.
Thank you.
Councillor Bain.
As Councillor Cordova said, I'd also like to acknowledge the 6 representations received. They all raised some good considerations, and I'd also like to thank the author of the report for the detailed responses to those representations. They're nice and crystal clear, I thought. So in summary, I'll be supporting the recommendation, but I think it is certainly a reminder that when it comes to these inter-residential high-density zonings, it's important that Council make sure that all the supporting infrastructure is in place, all those connections and open space and paths. And I think it's also our responsibility to be advocating for the things that are out of our control, like the public transport, supporting those retail businesses to get up and running so that it does support those condensed inner residential type facilities and making them more livable. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Bain. Any further contributions? Deputy Meg Laidright, would you like to sum up? No? I will then therefore put the recommendation as moved by the Deputy Mayor and seconded by Councillor Antoli. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. The Planning Authority now adjourns and open session of Council recommences at 5:54 p.m. Thank you very much to our planning staff. We're on page 48, petition still being actioned. There were no petitions still being actioned, and in the last period we did not receive any petitions. Still on page 48, donations policy 3.3 with a recommendation on page 49. Looking for a mover and a seconder. I've got a mover in Councillor Midgley and a seconder in the Deputy Mayor. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Third time lucky for this one. I guess I'm not going to go through. We've had a lengthy discussion over a couple of other council meetings in regards to this, but as you can see in discussion 4.1 and 4.2, the recent review and updating of the policy added an exclusion in line with the state government's junior travel assistance program that commenced in May 2023. And then we had a recent application that I guess was when the policy was updated, the assistance from a local student has been selected to represent Tasmania in the under 15 state AFL team. And his costs were $1,200 registration and airfares on top of this. So basically it was a bit ironic that it didn't quite fit with our policy. So we've had to go back and review that, and thank you very much for doing that. And it's good it happened, I guess, at the beginning of the policy. So we might have some more people applying in that area. And we do have that money there. It is available. I guess it opens up the parameters for more people that can apply. And I support the amendment there.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Next, I've got Councillor Antoli, then Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Inquiring minds would love to know, did the gentleman in 4.2 get his grant in the end, or has he been excluded because of this technicality?
No. Well, this will now enable the person to receive the grant.
So it's still pending.
So what happened was when it came to me early last week, I think it was, the application, I thought, oh, great, that he'll get the higher level.
Yeah.
And then I realised, I went back, there was something that reminded me, so that we had actually done originally why it was put in there was to be consistent with the state government policy for not funding students who go to national school sports championships. And to me that just seems strange that you would exclude students who are going on to represent their state at a at the national level. So, thankfully this person now will be able to receive a donation.
Yeah, I'll be fully in supportive, and I want to thank Council for jumping on this quickly so we can close the loophole so this young man doesn't miss out and all the others who may have missed out as well.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Happy to support this change. I'm just looking for a bit of guidance, I guess, as to why. So I'm on the Sports and Rec website and I'm looking at the Junior Travel Assistance Program guidelines, and it says that the following are ineligible. So if my reading of this report is correct, we basically transferred over the ineligible criteria from the Department of from Sports and Rec, and we kind of copied and pasted them for our purposes. So my question is really, does anybody know why it is that the following are ineligible for that Junior Travel Assistance Program? It's national championships that are conducted by sports organisations that are not recognised by the Australian Sports Commission, local and regional championships, training squads and development camps, same as us, and then it goes on, and then it says one of them is the School Sport Australia National Championships, and I'm just trying to figure out why have they excluded them? Does anybody know?
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know, but okay. I took the attitude that if they want to be stingy, then that's their business, but I think we should be supporting our students who are representing their state.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor, and I have absolutely no problem with it. And if I'm right, then it's not an enormous number of people right now, because I think one of the points that we made earlier, which I fully agreed with in the earlier discussion on this topic, was we do want to make sure that we're encouraging not just sports, but also the whole gamut of people representing the state and doing good things and representing us as a community. So am I right in thinking that this, it won't exactly break the bank because there's not that many people, and the quantum of money that we're talking about is about $150 of support in these circumstances?
Yeah. No, there's been under expenditure within that line item for a number of years, so we certainly have the capacity, even with the increased level of assistance, to be able to provide that. And you may have noticed that we had already highlighted this on our social media page for council, encouraging people to to, you know, refer to our website and to make an application, and we certainly are making it clear that it's not just for sports. So if all of you could also share that on your social media pages, that would be terrific, so we can get the word out even more.
Thank you, Ben. And to conclude my remarks, I will say that it is now, it's a really good thing that that messaging, I think, is now clear, that it's not just sports, it's anybody who's doing good stuff and representing us as a community. And so the policy detail is worth looking at, and the eligibility criteria, so that we can get this message out far and wide. And now it becomes, the next step is for us to make sure that everybody knows that they can avail themselves of this opportunity, because it's a good thing that council is doing, and I hope we continue to do it more widely, and I think this is a real success. So thank you very much to the author and authoriser and all the people who have put work into what is a very good policy. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Any further contributions? Councillor Mingeley, would you like to sum up?
No, just thanks to the staff working behind the scenes to, you know, the author of the policy, and also working behind the scenes to do all the paperwork to process this as well, because no doubt that's a lot of work, but it all is going to a great cause. And since the last policy was passed, I think I've told about 3 or 4 people, so it's about, yeah, getting out there and finding out the amazing ability in our community. I know there's quite a few gymnastics squad is headed to New Zealand this morning, so, and then overseas and sailing trips and things like that. So we really have just such a rich and diverse community of young people, and lots of people doing really well. So congratulations to all of them as well.
Thank you very much, Councillor Midgley. I'll put the recommendation then, moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by the Deputy Mayor, with the recommendation on page 49. All those in favour? Against, motion is carried unanimously. Come now to the appendices with a recommendation on page 58. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. Moved Councillor Midgley, seconded Councillor Street. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. Oh, I'd like to put an amendment to the motion.
Okay, Councillor Fox.
We're talking about item 16.2, aren't we?
Yep.
Yep. The appendices attached to the motion would include the minutes from the Access Committee, and which are in this document. And I'm concerned that an item that was discussed at the meeting hasn't been drawn out from the agenda from the minutes, and I would like to have that included in the actual motion.
Okay, so you've got an alternative recommendation there.
Yes, Mrs. Morton's provided it for us.
Okay, so for the information of people who are watching, it is that the appendices attached to the agenda be received and noted. The diversity and inclusion statement adopted by Council on the 5th of June 2023 be placed on the agenda for a future Legat general meeting, requesting that all councils adopt a similar statement, and the diversity and inclusion statement is placed in a prominent position at the entrance to the Civic Centre. So that now let me see who moved. We've got Councillor Midgley and Councillor Street. Are you happy with that? That amendment, you're happy to accept that, so we don't have to have a separate debate. Okay. That becomes the substantive motion then. Councillor Fox, did you want to speak to that?
No, this matter was raised at the Access Committee, which I chaired in your absence as deputy. And it was a specific request from the group that it come to council for consideration. It is such an amazing statement that council and staff have provided and councillors have endorsed on the 5th of June, and they feel that it would be really appreciated if it was made more widely available through the state, and that people considered the issues that are raised in the statement, and also that it be placed in a prominent position in the council chambers, and then anybody coming to the council will realise that we are that we celebrate diversity and inclusion as a council, and that that is something local government should consider. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Deputy Mayor.
I'm just concerned that we're trying to make a decision on two separate things here, and would it not be best to just withdraw the Safety Committee minutes from
Access,
the...
Access sorry,
the access committee minutes from the appendices, and then this gets brought back as a separate motion.
I think the issue was that it was just overlooked when the there were motions passed by the access committee and they were overlooked for being put on the agenda for council. I'm happy to accept it. I don't think that they're controversial at all, but I'll take some advice from the General Manager.
Through you, Mayor, the only thing that is missing, and I take the Deputy Mayor's point, the thing that would be missing if Council were to consider item 2 and 3 of the motion now is the officer's comment. If it was withdrawn, we could have a report back at the next meeting. We're in your hands.
Councillor Street.
Could I suggest that perhaps the wording of the amendment ought to be that those matters are included in the agenda of the Access Advisory Committee? In the minutes of the Access Advisory Committee, rather than...
In this motion.
They are included in the minutes.
They are. But they weren't...
I accepted the amendment and now I think I agree with the Deputy Mayor.
They weren't drawn out. They weren't picked up as requiring a decision of council.
Okay.
Yep, General Manager.
Yeah. Through you, Mayor, if I could follow Councillor Street's lead, my advice would be, thinking on the run, that it would be best to withdraw if for no other reason, to address the requirement under Section 65, from memory, of the Local Government Act to provide qualified advice. And we can only do that with an officer's comment, which is lacking tonight. So my advice would be to Council and the mover and the seconder that perhaps we just focus on the appendices and make the observation that Council officers will bring the minutes back again to the next meeting, so that we can address Section 65.
Councillor Fox.
I did raise this matter before asking, I raised it with staff, because that was my concern as well. And I guess there was two ways of looking at it, but I'd be quite happy for it to come back to council with a report from staff to guide us, I think.
So we're going to... So the amendment is withdrawn with the consent of the mover and also the ones that Councillors Midgley and Street. So we will go back to the original recommendation, which is simply that the appendices attached to the agenda be received and noted. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. So can I ask... I have a question of something that was in the Access Advisory. Can I just ask a question in relation to that? And I was going to ask a question on notice at the beginning, but then when I read the minutes, I realised that perhaps this had come to this committee, and it was in regards to the countdown pedestrian times, and I understand that's sort of some public art element to do with the main street upgrade, and I was going to ask a general question about is there any public art elements happening as part of the main street upgrade, but I understand that this countdown pedestrian times with the pigeons, if we could just have some information about that. Seagulls. I don't know where I got pigeons from. Sorry.
We don't want pigeons. We don't like pigeons.
I read it a while ago. Seagulls.
So there has been some discussion within the Transform Kingston group about what the pedestrian lights would look like, and I'm not sure whether we have a resolution as yet, but there is some appetite to have countdown timers, because it does mean that somebody with a disability who's actually in a wheelchair or using a mobility device has some greater understanding of how long they've got to cross the road. One of the frustrations, I have to say, has been for some time that the Department of State Growth have certain criteria around what amount of time pedestrian lights are set at, and we have raised this repeatedly with the department through the Access Committee, and we asked sometime a few years ago for the lights near Banjos to be extended to give people longer time to cross. They extended it by 1 second. I'm not kidding. We asked them and we presented the case and they extended it by 1 second. So it is very frustrating, but it does greatly assist anybody with a disability if they have the countdown timers. And I believe they could potentially be used with the seagulls. So the part of the design work was that if state growth will allow it, instead of having a person on the, you know, the walk and stop, is that they're little seagulls. And I think you can actually do it with a countdown timer as well, if that all makes sense.
Thank you.
No pigeons, though.
No pigeons. I don't know where I got pigeons from, sorry. Anyway, but yeah, as I said, I was going to ask a question about public art, and then I read that and thought, oh, that sounds like a bit of an element there. Thank you for that. And the other one was just in regards to the KWS report, noting that today we got notice of a workshop in regards to that, but also noting in the report there was the dividend amount. If we could just have some explanation around that, and I guess we'll go through more the financials of the KWS at that workshop, but I guess any sort of insight regarding that dividend payment.
General Manager.
That's mentioned in the report.
Through you, Mayor, we can certainly address that at the workshop, Councillor Midgley, and following that workshop, there'll probably be opportunity to present that at the next report to this council meeting. Yeah.
We don't have Mr. Reeve with us tonight. Yeah, thank you. Deputy Mayor, you've got your light on. No? Okay. Councillor Dean.
Thanks, Mayor. One of the things in the agendas that I always love are the Mayor's activities.
Excellent.
As we know from previous questions of mine. But just one, 23rd of June, it says here that you met with Kingston Police to discuss local community issues and particular public toilet vandalism. I noted that one of those incidents involved the family room at Kingston Park. And so I just wanted to hear potentially if there are any outcomes from that discussion that the community might be of interest. And a follow-up question, very quick one. I know that now that we've got this 16.2 in appendices, is it preferred that questions around your activities or the general manager's activities comes at this point rather than questions about notice?
Sure. Just a bit cleaner. Yep.
Cool.
Thank you for the question. Yes, we had quite a lengthy discussion about the crime statistics in Kingston and also what the future might look like for the police station, given that there was some funding in the state budget that was handed down not that long ago for a business case to be developed in the next year to look at a single combined fire station and police station somewhere within Kingston, which is something that I've been advocating for quite some time. But interestingly enough, they were not aware of it, and none of us can find it in the budget papers. So we're going to try and get that confirmed with the state government. We did have, given that Inspector Riley is new to the position, he's only been in the role for under 2 months, we did have a discussion on some of the challenges that we see from council's perspective about where our facilities are being vandalised, and clearly, as we've previously noted, we do have a significant problem with what we think is a small group of people, and probably the same ones, who are continually vandalising our public toilets, our parenting rooms, our accessible toilets, both at Blackmans Bay Beach and also over at the community hub, and also the public open space there, the stage two. And that is really frustrating, so we're going to be actively working with Kingston Police to try and identify if there's any pattern of when those vandalism attacks have occurred. We're also working with them on ensuring that all our CCTV cameras are working at all times. That's been a bit of a challenge sometimes in the past that they haven't been. But we are going to have more of a consolidated approach. We also do employ some security guards that monitor the playground area and the hub area. So we're looking at sort of working, Kingston Police working with them about when they do their patrols and what they should be looking out for. So it's very frustrating when, particularly for those important facilities like the parenting facilities and the accessible toilets, that they're out of action for long periods of time. And it's probably between about $30,000 and $40,000 of damage that we've sustained only, you know, in about 6 months for those facilities. I'm really looking forward to trying to sort of address that. We obviously have had to take the steps of locking the public toilets after dark, and obviously that's not something that we've done lightly, but we can't afford to keep having those facilities vandalised in the way that they do, and fire seems to be a common thing for what they're doing to them. So, but you have to have toilet paper, so you can't remove all flammables from the toilets. Whilst we've put in hand dryers now instead of paper towels, toilet paper is a necessity. So, yeah, it's very, very frustrating, but very much looking forward to for our staff to work with Kingston Police and try and resolve the issue.
Great. Thank you so much. I had a couple of follow-up questions, but you answered them in your response anyway, so thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Can I just have a follow-up question to that one as well? So is there a noted that the crime has actually increased in the Kingborough area? Just from social media, it feels like there's a lot more noting that it has, but I guess what are the statistics showing?
Yeah. No, contrary to popular belief, the crime has not increased in Kingborough, and it really shows quite a significant decrease over the last decade. So there are obviously isolated incidences that occur, but Kingston Police are very confident that they are a small cohort of people and probably the same ones every time, or people coming from out of area. They're certainly, it's trending down. Further questions? No? Okay. Councillor Midgley, no summing up? No? Okay, I'm going to put the recommendation that the appendices attached to the agenda be received and noted. Moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Street. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. There were no notices of motion received, so we are on page 58, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder that, in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority moved into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence, tender assessment AB2305, Taruna Foreshore Toilet Refurbishment. A mover and a seconder. Moved Councillor Fox, seconded Councillor Antoli. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. In accordance with the Kingborough Council meeting audio recording guidelines policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. Open session of Council adjourned at 6:18 p.m. So thank you very much to everybody.